Welcome to another edition of the weekly Daily Fantasy Football Podcast on the Sportscast Network. I am your host, Keith Fleming. With me, as always, my man Joe Matt. Show, what's going on?
I had a brief disconnect there, but I'm good. Although, as you know, I did find out I have COVID this week. Thankfully, very mild symptoms, and I think I've had it probably for about a week. So
I should be okay. I didn't want to bring that up without you. I was going to ask you before we started, but I was like, I'm just going to let him do that. I think Tyreek Hill just scored another touchdown and caught another pass for me.
I can't remember ever seeing – Cook didn't break 60, did he, in any of his big weeks? Because I looked at it today. I was like, wait, he scored 60?
Like, he was – I think he had the 14th highest or 15th highest point total ever in standard leagues.
I believe it.
And it just – like, I was very confident on him. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I didn't win as much money last week as I should have. But I had Tyreek Hill in every lineup, like every one of them. Now, some of them, unfortunately, also had like Dalvin Cook or, you know, Waller with them because I was big on those guys too. But when you get 60 points, like there were some lineups I couldn't believe cash. Like I'm looking at nothing but icicles at 60 and then a couple like, you know, 15s here and there, maybe at 12, and it's like you're in the money. And it's like, God almighty. Real quickly, just to go over our hits from last week. Well, we'll go over the hits and misses actually. We had Mahomes. It was like what I was saying. We hadn't picked him all year. He was $8,000. I just thought he was by far the best quarterback. He had by far the most points of any quarterback that week. Bridgewater did okay. We both really whiffed on Derek Carr. Good God almighty. Herbert, again, like had a bad game but scored 20 points. I'll take it any day of the week. Yeah. My Cook was a huge swing and a miss. My Gio Bernard was a big miss. But then this is what I was really good at this week. James White, 4,500, two touchdowns. Your Chubb pick, Robinson and Gallon. I mean, your running backs last week. Well done, dude.
That is the reverse of what normally happens.
It really was. And that's what's bad is running backs are the one I don't use for our picks nearly as much as I do like other positions. We have not had the success there, but – I'm like, God, if I just put two of Joe's in some of those lineups, goodness gracious. Tyreek Hill, maybe the play of the year. Like, honestly, Brown and Pittman stunk for me. Diggs was bad. Boyd was bad. Jefferson, though, another huge game. I had him at flex. You had him at receiver. Waller was a miss by both of us. But then again, like, and this is what I've been most proud of on this podcast. You had Austin Hooper, 3,800. He scored a touchdown. Hunter Henry had a good game for his price at 4,800. And then my Tyler Eifert pick, like, can I pull these just, like, crazy plays?
It's incredible.
Especially with tight end. He caught a touchdown. He had 10 points, 2,600. I felt like a genius. Kelsey was my most expensive flex. That was a win. Jefferson, again, a win. Aguilar struggled for me. Ridley did not have a great game, but at 7,100, his output won't kill you. Brian Hill, screw him. Like, that was just so – Ito, I don't know if you saw, Ito ended up having, like, 16 points. Hill actually, I think, had more yardage, but Ito ended up getting the touchdown. He also had a few receptions. And then the defense plays were really good. Your Saints play was great. I mean, that was kind of a no-duh once they decided it, but, I mean, it was beautiful. You had the Browns, or excuse me, not the Browns, but the Giants who did okay, and also the Seahawks. But we're going to move into this week. For people who have not listened to the podcast, the way we do it is we give three plays using DraftKings pricing at each position. Both of us do. We try to give, you know, really a high tier, a middle tier, and a low tier. I'm not going to lie. Some weeks, you know, picks are $500, $600 apart. If we just don't have a pick down there, we're not going to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I try to give you like bargain plays, but I've got to, I don't want to just be throwing shit against the wall. So, let's start with quarterback. My expensive tier guy is Justin Herbert. And, actually, before I even do that, there's a lot of guys in this range, right? And that's 6,000 range this week, don't you think, that could have some serious success?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the higher-priced guys have tougher matchups this week. And so, yeah, I'm really looking at Herbert in the 6,900 down to Fitzpatrick at 6,000. I think there's three or four guys in there that are my favorite plays this week.
Completely agree. But Herbert proved last week he's been the most consistent quarterback in fantasy football this season. I always forget about Mahomes. But, I mean, if you look at those other guys, even Kyler Murray now has had, like, a stinker. I mean, just a game where he scored 5 points last week? Or 6 points against Pat, something crazy?
It was nine, but, yeah.
Nine. I mean, well, okay.
Well, Herbert's right. Almost 19, so.
It was better at six, Joe. This was his ninth 20-point game in 10 starts. He only has one non-20-point performance. It was 19.7 points. And that's amazing. This kid's a rookie. The Pats D is not what it once was. They're 22nd in points allowed to opposing quarterbacks. I also really like Rodgers. I think is your pick this week. You know, but the thing is, I think Herbert, we saw last week, and I know it was a mess of a game, it was terrible play calling, but Eckler is going to benefit them as a lead back. And it's going to benefit Herbert because he's more lethal catching passes than he is running the ball. So I don't feel like him, you know, coming is going to take away from Herbert. I actually think it adds to him. And it's more likely he'll get reception touchdowns than it is rushing. But Herbert at 6,900 is my play. And then you can go ahead and go over there. And Rodgers also 100% co-sign on.
Yeah, originally I was looking at Herbert, and then I saw that you took him. I was like, well, who else is there? And I was like, oh, my God, how did I not notice that Aaron Rodgers is there?
Why is he so cheap? Matchup? I mean,
so I think I do actually know why he's so cheap. It's because the Eagles have only given up one passing touchdown in the last 4 weeks. So I think that's probably –
Haven't they been playing the NFC East, though, a lot for that?
Right, that's the thing. The three games where they didn't give up a touchdown were the Giants, who I think have 9 passing touchdowns on the season, or maybe it's 8. It's 8 or 9. The Cowboys without Andy Dalton, which is like the worst passing offense in the league, provided you have an actual quarterback. And then the Browns, who I don't remember if that was a bad weather game or not, but obviously we know the Browns are run heavy every single week. So, I mean, only giving up one passing touchdown to Seattle is kind of impressive. But otherwise, yeah, they've been playing the dregs of the league at passing. And, I mean, even after those 4 weeks, they're still 13th on DraftKings against QBs. So they were getting toasted before this. They're 20th in passing DVOA. And they have a league-low 3 interceptions. So this is not actually some great passing defense. And even if they were, Rodgers just shredded Indy and Chicago in back-to-back weeks. And those are legitimately two of the best pass defenses.
We were talking before we started about going and looking at a guy and seeing his recent games. I didn't realize how good Rodgers has been the last 7-8 games. Every game it's like 2-3-4, 2-3-4 touchdowns. I mean, he's been really scoring a bunch of points, and it's weird to see him in this range. Sorry, not to cut you off.
No, you're good. Yeah, I mean, since that Tampa game where he was just awful, outside of that, every game this year, he's thrown multiple touchdowns, at least 19.2 points every game outside of that one. 6 straight games with at least 23.5 points. I mean, the guy's averaging 25.5 on the year, which if you look up, that's the exact same number as Deshaun Watson, who costs $700 more.
And has played a much tougher team.
Yeah, playing a tougher team in Indy without Will Fuller. Aaron Rodgers has Devontae Adams. Lazard is back. Like, this is as good as it's been for him all year.
Well, he proved against the Falcons. He threw 3 touchdowns to tight ends and running backs in that game.
Right. It doesn't matter. But, yeah, he's got his full complement of weapons. I mean, 60 – again, I think a lot of these higher guys have real tough matchups. And – Rodgers and Herbert are sitting there with mediocre matchups, and they're averaging as much points as anyone outside of Mahomes. Like, to me, they're the clear top two plays this week.
I was going to say my middle tier play, Kirk Cousins versus Jacksonville at 6,400, was my favorite play at quarterback. But for 400 more, it's got to be Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it really is crazy to think that you get Rodgers at home playing the way he is with Lazard back, like they're as healthy as they've been all year, and it's only 400 more. So that's actually my favorite play at quarterback. But Cousins is a good play.
He is right there.
So we have a running gag on the backdoor cover, me and Alan do, that it's okay to bet on Kirk Cousins as long as it's not a primetime game or a playoff game. Because I don't know if you've seen the numbers. Alan actually has pulled it up. I mean, it's embarrassing, like, how bad this guy is. And Monday Night Football, I think he finally won one, but he's like 1-15 in his career. Sunday Night Football, he's got a terrible record, terrible QBR. And playoff games, this week it's neither. The Jags secondary just let Baker Mayfield have its way with it. He's averaging almost 25 points per game over his last month, over 25 points per game at home. I get there's some concern that Cook could go wild. They could get up, you know, big early. You could see a lot of Madison, you know, potentially, which even if Cousins stays in and so they take Cook out, there's still a running back that can really move. But, I mean, again, Cousins' potential at 6,400 against a 29th ranked, you know, fantasy defense against QBs, I just think he's a really good play this week. I had a guy actually ask, I think it's your cousin, on the Ivy page, in a must-win game when I go with Cousins or Herbert. And, you know, he was saying, why not Cousins? And I told him, it's a great matchup. But if you're asking me in that situation, I always want the more consistent guy. I want the lower floor. And it's like Herbert, I mean, he scored 20-plus points against, I think it was Tampa Bay, New Orleans, and the Dolphins, which are all, you know, that's three of the best defenses in the league right there. So that would be my prediction. But who is your middle tier guy?
So my middle tier guy is Ryan Tannehill at 6,200. You know, he's Tannehill's just kind of been really solid all year, and obviously dating back to last year. He's averaging 20.9 points
since
this
he
year.
Showed up in Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, what's his name? The OC, Arthur Smith, I think. He's going to be a head coaching candidate this year, and
so I want the Falcons to hire, believe it or not. If they don't get the Chiefs guy.
He's clearly been fantastic for that offense and for Tannehill. And one of the reasons Tannehill's been able to average 21 points per game is he hasn't had a single game below 10. And that doesn't sound that impressive for a QB, but again, we just talked about how Kyler Murray just scored 8.9 last week. So the fact that he hasn't had one just absolute kill-your-team game is huge. Back-to-back games over 19 points against Baltimore and Indy, which are two of the better defenses. And now this week he gets the Cleveland Browns without Denzel Ward. And they've given up 22 passing touchdowns on the year. Only five teams have given up more. And that includes back-to-back weeks giving up two to the Eagles and the Jaguars, which, I mean, that's about as bad as it gets right now. The Jaguars are on backup QBs, and Carson Wentz may as well be a backup QB. So I really like him this week against Cleveland, just especially, again, with Denzel Ward out. That just means all the more reason A.J. Brown's going to go off. And you and I were just talking about Corey Davis just being super consistent this year.
Yeah, he's not on either one of our lists, but I did just want to spend a minute. He's 5,100 and... Again, I get bored on DraftKings, and I just start going through lineups and, you know, like looking at when you're selecting your receiver or your running back. And, I mean, just go through every guy and go through their game log. Davis had 1 0-point game. Other than that, 20.1, 12.6, 11.9, 15.5, 29.8, 11.7, 19.3, 10.0. He's a little unlucky. He only has three touchdowns. Because, I mean, he has games with, like, three catches, 70 yards, 5 for 113, 8 for 128. I mean, it really is a little unlucky that he has not scored more. But a guy averaging 14.5 points with a donut this year at 5,100, just do pay attention to him because he is not somebody that we got to, or at least either one of us kind of discovered this for this week before the podcast started. My lower tier guy, and I actually think Joe's is a much safer play, but I think that, you know, I like to give a guy in that, like, low 5,000 range as I can, and don't slap me, but I'm going to take Mitchell Trubisky at 5,400 versus the Lions. It's at home. He scored 21.8 in his start back as starting quarterback for the Bears. And he's faced, or excuse me, last week against the Packers. And when he faced the Lions, first game of the year, he scored 24.3 points. The Lions have showed consistently their secondary is not good. We saw on Thanksgiving Will Fuller, you know, doing whatever he wanted. Duke Johnson, Brandon Cooks had a good game. Quarterbacks have thrown for two touchdowns or more in three of their games. They've given up three touchdowns or more in four of their games at 5,400. If you don't have the money to give either Joe's last guy or those first four we gave, I think all five of them are great plays. Obviously, there's a lot more risk with Trubisky, but he also can run a little bit, which I like. I just think the Bears' offense is better with him. I don't know why they waited so long to go back before, I guess, he got injured technically. But I think Trubisky at 5,400, which are probably going to be famous last words, and we'll discuss this next week. What was I thinking? But I really do think it's a good play this week.
It'll be interesting, too, since obviously Detroit just made the head coaching switch. So. Yep. That can always go one of two directions. I mean, I like it. It's bold going with Mitch. It's just as it's bold to ever have Mitchell Trubisky be your starting quarterback in real life, it is bold as well at fantasy. So, yeah, like you said, I went a little bit higher, definitely a little bit safer with Ryan Fitzpatrick at 6,000. He was bad week one against New England, but every other start he's had this year, he scored at least 18 points. He has multiple passing touchdowns in five of the seven games he started, and two rushing scores as well. Cincinnati, dead last in adjusted sack rate, dead last in pressure rate. So he's actually, I believe I saw some stat that he's had one of the quicker releases this year. So there shouldn't be much risk of him getting beaten up in this game or having lost fumbles. Since he's 26th in passing DVOA, they've allowed multiple passing scores in seven games, 22 passing touchdowns allowed on the year, which, again, as with Cleveland, only five teams are worse than the 22. And that includes Tampa, who's played one more game than those teams. So I just think this is an easy matchup. He's been a kind of shockingly consistent for Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'd also say there's a couple of reasonable 800 where I think Jared Goff is a pretty solid play this week, as I'm going to get into when we talk about wide receivers. And I know Derek Carr just burned us, and that's one of the reasons.
I can't co-sign this, Jared. Not after last week against that shitty. I love him, but my shitty Atlanta Falcons that was shocking. I was shocked. It's something as a fan you just laugh. It's like, where the hell has this been? The Raiders are a good team. They competed with the Chiefs twice. And we blew the doors off of them.
I mean, I'm generally a Derek Carr doubter. And so I was expecting at some point this year there'd be like a he is who I thought he was game.
Right.
I just didn't expect it to be against Atlanta.
And so bad. I mean, did he even score? I don't even know if he scored a point because he had so many turnovers. He might have been in the negative.
He was able to scrape out 4.6 on DraftKings.
Wow.
I feel like it was lower on ESPN.
Yeah, but, probably Sanderley's maybe.
Yeah, so obviously he was awful, but again, the Jets have overtaken the Jaguars in passing DVOA as the worst pass defense. I believe they're down multiple corners, and they have been for a few weeks. We'll get into it later in the pod. I do actually like one of the wide receivers for the Raiders this week, but if you wanted to roll the dice against anyone playing the Jets, I don't think it's a bad play. I just think, again, Fitzpatrick for an extra 200 just feels a heck of a lot safer than Carr or even Goff.
And Parker is one of my receivers. I'll go more into that when we get there. But also Fitzpatrick, Parker is so much more of a weapon. And yeah. It just makes it more likely that they're going to actually be able to move the ball. And I got to give you credit. You were all over Fitzpatrick until he got benched. And he really was. I mean, every week he's getting 20, 22 points, and he was so cheap. Moving on to the running backs. My man Austin Eckler's back. You know, I had him in two leagues this year, was all excited. I was like, man, this was before Herbert, and I was excited. And then, of course, he gets hurt kind of right as Herbert's taken over, and he finally came back last week. He's 7,100. He really is. He's been one of my favorite plays in daily fantasy and fantasy football for years. I always think he's undervalued, especially in PPR formats.
Yeah.
And – in the games he's finished this year, finish. Now, he had one game that he didn't get all the way through. He's averaging 23.25 points per game with just under 7 receptions per game. The Pats have given up 5 receptions or more to backs in 7 games this year. The Pats are still really good against the run. They don't give up touchdowns. Most teams are not able to gouge them. But, again, it's the passing game where I just love this play because Eckler's floor is so low. They get down, they're going to throw it more. Eckler's reception total could be – I mean, last week he had 16 targets. 16! And he didn't even play all the snaps. He played a lot of them. I just think he's going to get enough opportunities. And, again, I really think Herbert – we're going to see actually be better down the stretch with Eckler because it's just one more weapon. Eckler's – I mean, he's a good running back in between the tackles, but that's not what he does best. What he does best is being that security blanket, somebody you can dump it to, you know, when you get some pressure or, you know, you need to run a screen or whatever it may be. At 7,100, he's a guy that I think at the least he's going to score 13 points every single week. And most weeks, especially if he scores a touchdown, you're going to get 20 points or more. And at that 7,100, he has not, in my opinion, reached the value that he should be at because he's the starting running back. He's mostly a pass-catching back. He's going to be the goal line back, and he's on a really good offense with a really hot quarterback. I actually think our boy Keenan Allen is the guy that is hurt the most by Eckler coming back. Yeah. And then maybe Hunter Henry and Marvin Williams, or is Mike Williams. And but I don't think it hurts Herbert, and I love Eckler this week at 7,100. Even against New England, even with it being a rookie quarterback against Belichick, I get all that. I believe in Herbert. I believe in Eckler. I love him at 7,100. He's my top play. Who is your top running back?
Just I want to say I co-signed like everything you just said. Eckler actually was.
That makes me feel better.
He was my initial top guy, and I saw you had him, and there are enough running backs I liked, but I wanted to cover some other guys. But I love Eckler this week, especially because he's cheaper than my top guy. It was just James Robinson. I'm going back to the well at 7,300.
We said Herbert was the most consistent quarterback. Robinson's arguably the most consistent running back.
That might be true. I mean, yeah, as I covered last week, and he came through big for me with 29.
Huge. That was a great play.
But like you said, it was like the surprise week where all the running backs hit.
Every one of them. That's what I'm saying. Except for Cook, who I put in, you know, like three lineups at 9,500. It's like, great move, Keith.
I mean, I thought, you know, even now when you also went huge at wide receiver and QB, and those ones came up big. So, but yeah, like you said, though, Robinson, double-digit points every single week this year. And in that offense, I mean, that's incredible. For one of the reasons he can do it, he's now moved up to fourth in the league in touches. He's involved every single game. So obviously, I just think he's a great play almost every week. The Vikings are not a killer matchup for running backs, but they're very middle of the road, 16th on DraftKings. They give up over 100 yards to running backs on the ground and a very healthy 5.4 receptions per game to running backs. So I think anytime you get Robinson in a reasonable matchup, especially when he's cheaper than so many of the other top running backs.
I love that Glennon's playing too.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if they just want to ride that out or if Minshew's going to eventually come back. But
I'm not sure, but I mean, I think for Robinson – it's better because we know what they're going to do. It's exactly the game plan they did last time. We're going to get Robinson involved a bunch. We're going to play action. You know, we're going to throw it maybe every three plays, you know, more than 5 yards down the field. I love how consistent Robinson's been. Maybe him and Terry McLaurin have done more lifting with less than anybody in fantasy football this year. So my mid play, and this was a late addition, Devontae Booker, 5,500 versus the Jets. This is really simple, guys. He is a must play this week. Like, I'm going to have him in too many lineups, probably, to be honest. Josh Jacobs is officially out. This year, when Booker has at least 7 carries, it's happened 3 times. In those games, he went 7 for 62 in the first, 8 for 68 with a touchdown in the second, and 16 for 81 and 2 touchdowns in the most recent. The Jets are not as good on run defense as they appear. And I want to go over this because we've talked about this a little bit. This is why it's important. If you go to CBS Sports under their fantasy section, there's a place where you can look up basically how team defenses do against positions. I highly recommend going to that if you're doing any other research other than just listening to podcasts. Because if you go and look at this, you know, originally you think, well, the you know, the Jets have been, they're 12th in the league. They're good against running backs. This is not a great matchup. But let's go through this real quick. So the first week they played the Bills, who we know can't run it, 18 for 41. So that's a really good game for them, right? Then they played three really good run teams, 49ers, Colts, Broncos. 49ers had 184 yards rushing. Colts had 119. Broncos had 113. Cardinals had 96. Dolphins had 106. Again, against that Bills team, doesn't run the ball. 15 carries, 76 yards. The Chiefs, who have not been able to run the ball this year, 19 carries, 50 yards. Patriots, a good running team, 28 carries for 127 yards. Chargers, the Chargers, who at that point did not have Eckler, I actually think Baller was hurt, 23 for 46. And then the Dolphins, again, a team that has actually ran the ball pretty well this year, 22 for 94 yards. So, you know, that 4.17 and 95 yards per game is skewed because of those matchups against teams that consistently don't run the ball very well. They've also had four games with multiple touchdowns given up. And a lot of this is about last week the Raiders almost lost their playoff chances. They're still alive. I do not see John Gruden being the coach he is, letting Carr on the road take over that game unless he absolutely has to. I think that means Booker's going to get a ton of opportunities. I think when they get in the red zone, he's not going to want to turn it over. So, again, he's going to hand it to Booker. And you got to remember that the Jets' offense stinks. So, you know, they're just going to basically be trying. This is just a must-win game. The Raiders cannot lose this game because their season's over. And I just think knowing John Gruden, the kind of coach he is, it's going to mean a lot of running opportunities. They have a change of pace back, but Booker is their only three-down back that they have. He's had success when he gets at least seven carries. And, again, he's 5,500 and, you know, an offense that loves to run the ball in a must-win game against a team with a bad offense. I love Devontae Booker at 5,500 for my mid-tier running back.
Yeah, I did not realize before you told me that Josh Jacobson's out. So, I mean, that's always one of the ways you can score big, obviously, is getting that backup running back who is just super underpriced now. My mid-tier guy is at the upper end of the mid-tier, which is Miles Sanders at 6,700. I have no idea why a guy averaging almost 6 yards per carry only touched the ball 8 times last week. But if we don't see a heavy dose of Sanders this week, I think it's safe to say Doug Peterson is just trying to get fired.
They're so inept. I saw the two draft picks of receivers, who the next picks were DK Metcalf and Justin Jefferson. I mean, just think about that. In the last two drafts, they took a receiver, and then arguably the best receiver in the class went a pick later. They're like, all year the coaching has been just baffling. Wentz does – I mean, that franchise is a mess. I mean, I know it's got to make you feel good as a Giants fan, but I just don't understand. I don't ever remember a team winning a Super Bowl on a Cinderella, like, you know, feel-good story of the last two decades, and then everything has gone wrong since.
And this season is super bizarre, too, because, I mean, they got ravaged by injuries last year, and then they overcame it, made the playoffs, and then even almost won a game with their backup – 40-year-old backup QB. So normally, I feel like the last few years, this has been one of the better coached teams, and I'm lost as to what's going on offense. You know, the defense is still reasonable, but, I mean, Wentz just looks awful. I don't know what's going on. So the solution should be to feed Miles Sanders, and there's not going to be a better week to do it than against Green Bay, who's 30th against running backs on DraftKings. You talked about the CBS thing, which I think is fantastic because, again, like you just went over, it really shows you the week-by-week stuff so you can see if, you know, there was one bit, like if a team gave up a bunch of points to the Chiefs, then that could be throwing off their average. But ESPN has one where it'll just show you all 32 teams again and what they give up against each position, which is just helpful to have all the teams compared for you. And on ESPN, Green Bay is worth an extra 8.1 points per game to running backs, which is 31st. So, I mean, them and Detroit are the two where there's just a massive boost to running backs. They give up over 100 yards on the ground, 4.7 yards per carry. They've given up over 100 for three straight weeks. And David Montgomery only needed 11 rushes to do that last week.
That should be sirens going off.
Yeah, it's not like Chicago's like the
king. Montgomery's been awful.
It's been bad for them. And on top of that, six receptions per game, two running backs, and a league worst 55 yards per game, two running backs. So, and again, Sanders is a guy. Obviously, Boston Scott gets used in the passing game as well, but Sanders tends to get a really healthy amount of usage in the passing game. And they should just be feeding him the ball in the run game too. Like, I have no idea what's going on in Philly, and that's just going to be doubly true if they don't feed Sanders and he doesn't. Because if they do, he's going to go off. Again, almost he was at six going into last week. So the guy is the best weapon they have by far. So they should
remember went into Green Bay and Minnesota won a game by just basically giving the ball to Dalvin Cook over and over and over again. And if you're the Eagles, the smart plan to follow would be that one, because you're also keeping the ball out of the hand of Aaron Rodgers. That's a win-win, exactly. Right?
It should be.
So my low-tier guy, I'm going back to the well, my man James White. I told you, he's one of my favorite. He's still, I think, priced a little too low at 5,000 versus the Chargers. He scored 14 points or more in back-to-back games since Burkhead's injury. That includes the first game where he only played basically the second half. In my opinion, what's most exciting about the prospects is he's getting a ton of goal line looks. Which I did not expect. And I forgot they did like to use him, though, in that, in previous years. That gives him, like, several ways to get to double-digit points, obviously, because we all know how good of a pass catcher he is. If he has four or five catches, it's almost guaranteed he's going to get you 10 points. Obviously, if he scores a touchdown in the red zone, whether it be rushing or receiving, that's probably going to get you to 10 points. And, again, for 5,000, I don't think that his value isn't, you know, over what the potential scoring output could be. It's getting close, and it is a good matchup. The Chargers are giving up five receptions to running backs per game over the last five, and seven touchdowns on the ground or through the air in that same span. So seven touchdowns, five games, running backs. One baffling thing about Harris for the past, he does not score. I don't know if it's Belichick or, you know, hates fantasy football or whatever it is, but no matter how good of a game he is, when they get close, they'll go to White, they go to Burkhead, they go to these different guys. So you're getting a guy that I think could be featured. And then also you saw it was very high on the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to go in there and I think put a hurt on New England. It's in LA, are going to put a hurt on New England. And that, again, is good for James White, because obviously if they get down early, Cam's going to be forced to throw. Cam's not very good at throwing, so one of the best things they're going to do is dump it down to James White and try to dink and dunk it down in the field. So at 5,000, I think he is a good value. If he gets up a few more hundred next week, I would get away from him, but I do like him again this week. Who's your low tier, Joe?
My low tier guy this week, guy I just talked about, is David Montgomery. Obviously, you know, there's always the risk. You don't love playing the guy who hasn't been awesome this year coming off his huge week, because he put up 28.3 last week. But the reasons I like him this week is, A, the Bears just don't have anybody else. He gets 10-plus carries every week. Outside of week one, he has multiple catches every week, which, again, we talk about every week. If the guy's getting receptions, that's huge. And while it's hard to find a better matchup than the Green Bay Packers for running backs, the one team that's the guaranteed better matchup is the Detroit Lions, which is who he faces this week.
We should have seen a bit more on that Duke Johnson for the Thursday win last week. He had his highest point total by far of the season. Yeah. It was like, duh. We know they're terrible. We've talked about it all year.
And let me get into just how terrible they are. Montgomery is 5,500, I forgot to mention. So dead last on DraftKings, and the reason for that is they're 29th in rushing yards allowed to running backs at 4.7 yards per carry. They are 30th in receiving yards allowed to running backs, and they've given up a league-worst 21 touchdowns to running backs. So they're bottom four in rushing yards allowed, passing yards allowed, and dead last in touchdowns, which 21 touchdowns is one.
That's unheard of in today's game. In today's game, that is unheard of.
And again, I talked about how Green Bay is plus 8 points, according to ESPN, for running backs. Detroit's plus 10.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, they basically are just making a like all pros. So even though there aren't a lot of weeks where I would really want to play David Montgomery, last week was obviously a good week to do it, and this week might even be better.
I can't disagree with any of that. You know how I love to pick on the Detroit Lions. It's like picking on my Falcons secondary. Moving on to the wide receivers, this guy has been somebody we've been all over, I mean, all season. I got Justin Jefferson, and I know you're probably going, Keith, this 6,900, that's pretty low for your top-tier wide receiver, especially after you gave Tyreek Hill last week. I do have one receiver a little bit more expensive this in my flex plays, but there's none of those guys at the top that I just feel really confident, honestly, other than Davante Adams, and that scares me because he's $9,000, and you see what happened with Cook last week. I'm not doing it again. Jefferson is making a serious case for the best receiver in a really good draft class. He's got 52 catches, 918 yards, 6 touchdowns. He scored 17 or more in 3. Feasted on bad secondaries. The Jags, who he is playing this week, they qualify in 7 games this season against the bottom third secondaries for fantasy purposes. He's averaging 21.6 points per game, Jefferson is. So he plays really well against bad defenses. That's teams like the Falcons, the Cowboys, etc. I also mentioned last week how good he's been at home, averaging over 22 points per game going into last week, and then he scores 26 at home against a bad secondary. So his average at home is now up to probably 23, maybe a little bit north of 23 points per game. There's something about him inside a dome for whatever reason. He gets another chance this week against an even worse defense in the Jaguars. No offense to Jarvis Landry, but if he had his way with this Jag secondary, I expect both Thielen and Jefferson to be able to do pretty much whatever they want. And the only, you know, caveat or just think about that I will tell people is the same concerns I had about Kirk Cousins. There is a chance they get up big. The Jags offense could be really slappy. Say the Vikings score a couple of defensive touchdowns and they just run it a lot. And that's, I think, the only way that Jefferson and Thielen don't have a chance to have like really big games. And Jefferson is still, he's almost getting in that Keenan Allen range. I was shocked when he was 6,900. I mean, Calvin Ridley is still more expensive, and he is averaging way more points than Calvin Ridley over the last month. I think actually like the last 6 weeks. So Jefferson is my high tier or top tier play at wide receiver at 6,900. Joe, who's yours?
Hopefully this works out as well as it did 2 weeks ago, because I'm going with Adam Thielen as my top guy at 7,800. So obviously 2 weeks ago against Dallas, we saw Thielen went off for 35. I think Jefferson had like 18 or 19. So I think this is going to be a similar week where I think there's a good chance at least one of them goes off and the other guy still has a totally solid startable game. So yeah, again, Thielen missed last week, I believe because contract tracing with COVID. But 35 the week before that, 20 the week before that. So he's been on a roll lately. He's had 4 games this year where he's hit 29 or higher. He has more end zone targets than any other wide receiver, which is why he has 11 touchdowns. I think he and Davante Adams are like the top 2 wide receivers when you get close to the end zone, just because they're 2 of the craftiest guys in the league.
He looks so big too. He's like a freaking tight end.
I always just have in my mind that he's like some sort of Wes Welker guy, but he's 6 foot.
He's huge. Got long arms. Like he's a big dude.
Like he's got the craftiness of those like classic like white slot guys, except he's got the size of a normal outside wide receiver, 6'2". So that's why he's so good. On PFF this week, he has the biggest wide receiver corner advantage. They give him a 71% advantage over the corner that he's facing. And no one else is higher than 55%. So he's the clear biggest advantage according to PFF. So again, and again, it's the Jags defense. They're 26th against wide receivers. They're 31st in passing DVOA. I mean, they and the Jets, I think, are really just pound for pound the two worst pass defenses in the league. And so I love the.
Well, my Falcons would like to argue about that. But.
Well, hey, maybe you guys are trending up. We'll see.
I hope so.
But yeah, I think throw Thielen or Jefferson, get one of them in pretty much any lineup you play this week. Throw one of those guys in.
And he didn't actually have COVID, correct?
I don't believe so.
Okay. And the only reason I say that is I have noticed that guys coming back from COVID, they don't necessarily have a great game that first week back, which is sometimes scary. And that is the one warning I want to give about my mid-tier play is Brandon Ayuk at 5,400 versus Buffalo. You know, we talked last week, Joe, about how few receivers, how much it is to get a receiver who averages more than 20 points per game. When I was giving Kelce as my top flex at 7,000, Ayuk has averaged 20 or more over his last three games he's played. I will, again, just remember he's coming off COVID. That can sometimes have an effect on it. And also just remember that he's got to get officially cleared, but they're saying all signs are he is going to play. But the Bills have had issues with receivers all year. They're giving up over 30 points per game to them. And against the Rams earlier this year, Woods had 3 carries for 30 yards, which that's always encouraged to me. I would not be surprised if Debo Samuel, I also like this week, or IU get involved in the running game. Both of them we know can bust a play for a touchdown on an end around or reverse or something on any play. And I think the Niners are going to actually get scored on. I may be wrong on this, but I actually think the Bills are, they've proved time and time again they can really burn you throwing the football. That has been a weakness at times to this Niners team. We've seen them get torched. In some games, they look great in others, but, I don't consider shutting down Jared Goff all of a sudden proving your secondary has got things back in order. So, again, you're getting a guy at 5,400 who is averaging over 20 points per game the last three games he's played. And for the season, he's averaging almost 16. I think Ayuk is a very safe play in that game against Buffalo.
Yeah, it's really been one of the more surprising things this year is the way that Buffalo has struggled against wide receivers after they looked like one of the best secondaries in the league last year. So.
And they struggled against the run. Their defense is just not very good.
It's been really weird because that's one of the best defensive coaching staffs too, I think, in the entire league.
Yeah, they were like, the number two or number three defense, I think, most people won in fantasy drafts this year.
Yeah, I don't think I ended up with them in any of my drafts just because I tend to wait on defenses.
Oh, I always do too. I get two and wait to the very end. My last two picks are always defenses or a kicker.
Yeah, that's the same. So that's why I never got them, but they probably would have been my top defense to pick up. So that which is, again, why you should always wait to draft defenses. But anyway, my mid-tier guy this week is Cooper Kupp at 6,100. He's actually been more consistent than I realized. If you take out his two games against San Francisco, which was last week, he scored 10.2 combined against San Francisco. All but one other week, he's topped 10, and the one week he didn't get 10, he got 8. So by far his worst 2 weeks are against San Francisco. The good news is not playing San Francisco this week, playing Arizona, who's 25th against wide receivers this year. They've given up multiple passing touchdowns in 4 straight games prior to last week when they played New England.
That doesn't count.
Exactly. Last year against Arizona, 6 receptions, 65 yards, touchdown. 7 receptions, 99 yards, touchdown. So he was great against them last year. And the super fun thing is just looking at what Arizona has done this year against slot guys.
I thought you were going to say white guys.
Well, one of those slot guys was Cole Beasley, who had 11 receptions for 109 yards.
Oh, he did torch them. I forgot about that. Was that game that I was like, why didn't I have Cole Beasley? Because he was, I think he was like $5,000 that week, too.
And No, I know I mentioned this the last time Seattle was playing Arizona, which is that Metcalf has not gone off against them.
But oh, he Tyler did.
Lockett, his worst of the two games, he put up 9 for 67 and a touchdown. The other game, he had 15 receptions for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. And then Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, they swap back and forth in the slot sometimes. They put up over 140 yards and a touchdown. The opportunity is there with the Cardinals in the slot, clearly. So, and again, Cooper Kupp is about as good as it gets in the slot outside of Keenan Allen. So
he's extremely undervalued this week. And I was again, shocked he was 6,100.
Yeah, I think both Rams receivers, which Woods is also going to come up for me later. The fact that they're averaging 6,000, which is the same you'd get Kenny Golladay against Chicago, which is one of the hardest matchups. I mean, I think they're both great values.
I completely agree. I love both guys on the Rams this week. And it's why I actually do like your Jared Goff play to a quarterback. I know I kind of was like, I'm not signing off on Carr, but I do like Goff this week. My low tier is Mims for the Jets at 4,100. They're playing at home versus the Raiders. He scored in double figures in 3 straight games. He's averaging just under 8 targets during that span. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm pretty positive Darnold's an upgrade at quarterback, or at least it seems like he is. He tied for his most reception. What'd you say?
Probably. It's hard to know.
I mean, it's not Joe Flacco of the Super Bowl run. I mean, what a heist. What a heist. Maybe the best heater of all time. So last week, Mims, with obviously Darnold back for the first time, had his most receptions, tied his most receptions, set a new yardage high. If Mims continues to get 8 targets per game, the Raiders are not a good secondary. So if he's getting 8 targets versus Raiders team, I think you're going to see him get his first touchdown of the year this week. I said that about Tyler Eifert last week. I actually think Mims is going to do it again this week. And again, I think his floor is 10 points. He's proven that the last 3 weeks. Now, again, I think the point total is 10.2 to like 10.8, but he's right there at that 10 points, and he's had at least 7 targets in the last 3 games. And if we get lucky and Booker is right, Raiders get up, Jets are going to throw more. That's more opportunity for Mims. And again, you can throw on the Raiders. We've seen that consistently. The Falcons did last week without Julio, and they had 2 touchdown passes that were dropped for somebody that has Matt Ryan in several fantasy leagues. That was pretty disappointing. But I really do like Mims this week at 4,100. There's another guy I'm going to play in my flex that's even cheaper. So there is some low-tier options that you can go. And I know, Joe, you got a good one too. Who's your low-tier guy?
So my low-tier guy is Hunter Renfro at 4,300. Not a guy at any time over the last 2 years I really would have been expecting to be recommending in any aspect. But, you know, he's carved out his role in that offense. He's actually.
I wish he was on the Patriots so bad. He would be the, you know, heir apparent to the Welker, Amendola, Edelman. Like, I mean, I could see him having 10 catches for 90 yards in every game for the rest of the time in Bill Belichick's offense.
He's actually second on the Raiders in targets behind Waller. He is averaging 9.2 points. Obviously, that's not a lot, but that's why he's 4,300. He does have a 20-point game this year, though, so he has been able to go off. He's coming off
double figures last week, right?
Yeah, he's coming off one of his better games. 7 receptions, 73 yards last week. Nelson Aguilar, I believe, did not practice today. He is likely going to be out. And either way, again, the Jets' pass defense is awful. They're banged up. They're dead last in passing DVOA. Their slot corner, Arthur Mollett, he hasn't played enough this year. Again, he was not the original starter for the Jets, so he hasn't played enough to get a full ranking on PFF. But his grade this year of 42.6, if he played enough, would rank 114th. And actually, I looked at his overall grade, and his coverage grade is in the 30s. So his play against the run is boosting him to a 40 grade on PFF. And I just talked about how Cole Beasley went off against the Cardinals. The other team he torched was the Jets, 11 receptions, 112 yards. If there's anyone who's comparable to Cole Beasley, it's basically Hunter Renfrow. So, again, in a game against an awful defense with a bad corner matching up against him, and Nelson Aguilar probably out or hampered if he is out there, I think Hunter Renfrow is a great under-the-radar play at
4. If Aguilar is out, I love that play because, again, this is a must-win game. Gruden is a smart NFL coach. Yeah. He's proven me. I don't know what you said about it. He's proven a lot of people wrong that he can still coach, but he's still very conservative. I mean, if you look at it, he understands that you need to get wins where you can, and I don't see them coming out flinging it. And that means, you know, less opportunities for their outside receivers and more opportunities for both Renfrow and Waller as we move on to tight ends. But I, after last week and, you know, just being, I mean, just salivating about him at $6,000 and him putting in that performance, I can't co-sign on playing Waller again this week. I will tell you he's going to be in a couple of my lineups because he's, again, like $6,000 against one of the worst defenses in the NFL against tight ends, but I can't get that pick again. We have actually the same top tier guy in Hockenson. He's averaging 7 targets per game. He's at $5,000, sorry. He's averaging 7 targets a game over his last 5. He scored in double digits in all games but 3, which for a tight end, we talked about this all season. It's a cluster. You don't know what you're going to get. You pretty much do know what you're going to get with Hockenson. In 2 of those 3 games, he did not score double figures. He had 9 points. So, I mean, again, it's kind of like with Herbert. He's right there. He's very, very consistent week in and week out. He had his highest scoring game of the season, week 1, versus these same Bears. They're good on defense, but maybe their biggest weakness is tight ends. They give up 5.5 of catches per game, 55 yards, and 8 touchdowns on the season, which I actually think that's first in the NFL. And, again, we just talk crap about how – just a crapshoot, and you have Hockenson really consistent, only $5,000, a great matchup against the Bears. We still don't know if Galladay is going to be back. I think Swift coming back in a lot of ways actually helps him. I love Hockenson $5,000. I know you do too because he's your top tier as well. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
I mean, yeah, again, he's just been – I think he might actually be more consistent than Waller. Because, again, yeah.
Waller's had a couple of stinkers. That's why I was so upset that I didn't even look at that last week was, well, has he had any bad games? And, yes, he has. He's had a lot of really good ones, but he's had some, I mean, like 3-4-point games.
Yeah, and, again, Hockenson's only had 1 game below 9 points, which is sadly a tight end. That's just, like, an incredible stat this year. I don't even know if that's true for Kelsey, although, obviously, he goes off a lot more. And, again, yeah, the Bears have just been awful. You know, 5 straight games, at least 5 receptions, 50 yards, 4 of those 5 games, the tight end caught a touchdown. Hockenson's outside of safe as it gets this week. And again, he's a consistent red zone threat too. So I'd probably be surprised if he does not score a touchdown this week. So I think you save a couple $1,000 if you don't want to get Kelsey, and that's the safest play of the entire week. That's
I will say, though, Kelsey, for whatever reason, has struggled against the Broncos in his career. So just do think about that. I know I just said last week Kelsey is matchup-proof, and you're an idiot if you try to argue otherwise, but I went back, like, over his last 4 games against the Broncos, whether it be they get up, you know, early, or I'm sure there's a ton of factors. I don't think he's had more than 5 catches. He hasn't had more than 60 yards, and he has not had a touchdown. So just do think about that if you are going to spend that money on Kelsey, because I think there's other guys you can spend that money on, and, you know, with the tight ends, pick somebody else. I've got Ryan Tonyan at $3,700 for the Packers versus the Eagles this week. That's my mid-tier guy. The Eagles are another team that they struggle against tight ends. They give up over 5 catches per game, around 49, 50 yards per, and they've given up 6 touchdowns on the season. Now, Tonyan has been a boomer bust guy. He's got 4 games with over 15 points this season and 4 games with 6 points or less. He consistently gets the same amount of targets and receptions that the Eagles give up on average, and he's only $3,700. So, again, at $3,700, I kind of like putting this in lineups that you actually feel good about over, you know, maybe taking a guy that's a little safer. Because at $3,700, I promise you, if he has a stinker and you do well with the rest of your money, it's not going to kill you. But if he ends up having one of those games where he scores 15 points or more, which he's done four times, and at 3,700, now you've got a lineup that, I mean, just think about the money that you could spend elsewhere. You could probably get some really good matchups, several good receivers, a good quarterback. I think he's probably my favorite play at tight end because of the potential at that price. Because he was at this early in the season. Then he moved up into kind of the mid-4,000s. I think that was too expensive for it. But now, I mean, he's 200 more than Trey Burton, who I love, and he's my low-tier guy. But at 3,700, you got a chance for a guy that scores 15 or more in basically half of his games.
Yeah, I'm with you all the way on Robert Tanyan this week. I think he's a great play. My mid-tier guy is a little more expensive. I would probably actually lean towards Tanyan over this guy, but Mike Gesicki at 4,200. He's actually averaging over 10 points per game with Ryan Fitzpatrick at QB. All three of his touchdown receptions were with Fitzpatrick starting. So I think as long as Fitzpatrick remains in there, as it looks like he's probably going to do, which that actually is something I should have mentioned, do double check if you put Fitzpatrick in any lineups on Sunday morning just to make sure that he is starting.
They're not really going to go back to Tua, you don't think, do they?
Everything I've heard, it sounds like they do eventually plan on going back to him.
I think that's a mistake. I was one of the ones saying Tua was the right move when they made it, but he's obviously struggling. I mean, they got a legit chance to potentially get to, you know, I don't know, the AFC Championship game. And for a franchise that's been that starved, I mean, I just think it's a win-win situation because Tua gets more time to learn, you know what I'm saying, kind of experience a little bit of winning and stuff. And then, yeah, he's your starting quarterback next year. And I just think the Dolphins have a higher ceiling with Fitzpatrick. Even though I know it's laughable to say that because it's Fitzpatrick. We know he'll have a Fitzpatrick game eventually, but I think that's a mistake.
I think that's true this year. I think Fitzpatrick, I mean, for sure, in fantasy purposes, I think he's the preferable starter.
Oh, yeah.
But I think because of having that Texans pick, I think that does make them want to see as much as they can of Tua, just because, I mean, there's probably three quarterbacks at least that I think are going to go in the top 10 this year, and four or five that are going to go in the first round. So I think they just want to be certain that they think Tua can be the guy going forward. So
I just don't think you can make that assessment, though. He's coming off of a pretty bad injury. It's his rookie year. Like, I mean, I actually am not against it. You look at the Kyler Murray year, it worked out, but it's baffling. Anyway, I'm sorry. I know I'm sidetracking this, but I don't get it. Finish up with Gesicki.
I mean, my thing again, I definitely like Tanyan more if Tua does end up starting this game, but it looks like it'll be Fitzpatrick. So again, he's averaged over 10 with Fitzpatrick. He had a 30-point game on DraftKings with Fitzpatrick, 8 for 130 against Buffalo. And this week he's playing the Bengals, who are dead last against tight ends. We just saw Evan Ingram get 6 receptions for 129 yards last week, and that was with Daniel Jones going out in the third quarter. And
he was going to go ham.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance he's breaking 150 and getting eight or nine receptions if Jones stays in that game. So, again, just a great matchup. They're dead last against tight ends. And with the quarterback that he has chemistry with, I think he's a good, solid mid-tier play at 4,200.
Trey Burton, again, is my low tier, 3,500 at Houston. He scored a touchdown in four of his last six games. He's still averaging just north of 4.5 targets per game. That's on the season. Houston's bad. I mean, they're bad. We saw T.J. Hockenson last week, who, again, what do you have, 80 yards in the first quarter? And the main thing I like about Burton is much more used in the red zone than just about any tight end I know in that range. I mean, obviously, if you score in four of six games – and you're only averaging 4.5 targets per game, it means every time they get in the red zone, they're at least thinking about going to you. Again, at 3,500, I actually think this is going to be a competitive game. I think Indy's going to win, but I think Houston's going to be able to keep it close. We're going to be in just all of Watson because I think he's going to move the ball on a good defense. So that was best player. But Burton at 3,500 is my low tier. Here's yours.
My low tier guy is Jordan Reed at 3,200. Now, obviously, the reason that is because he's been splitting time with Ross Dwelly since Kittle went out. But I think Dwelly's generally been seeing a little bit more playing time. But when you look at routes, targets, Jordan Reed is not surprisingly the guy leading the way. Last week, he did not do much, but the week back in week 11, which was their last game before their bye, he put up 5 receptions for 62 yards. Earlier in the year when Kittle missed a game, in I believe week 3, he had a 24-point game where he caught 2 touchdowns. Obviously, if you've been paying attention to football for at least a few years, you know that Jordan Reed has the talent. He just generally has been a guy who gets hurt too often. So I think there's a great opportunity. I think any week where he's got a good matchup, he's a good low-tier play, and Buffalo is a very good matchup. I just talked about how Mike Gesicki went off for 8 receptions for 130 yards earlier this year against Buffalo. They're 28th against tight ends on the year. They give up an average 6 receptions for 65 yards, and they've given up 6 touchdowns. Twice they've given up multiple touchdowns to tight ends. So I think Jordan Reed is – it's hard to beat at 3,200. If you want to save the money and just roll the dice, I think he's as good of a gamble as there is.
I agree. He's another guy, I think, like with, you know, Tanya that we're talking about, where the, you know, it's not going to kill you if 3,200 is not, you know, has a 4 or 5 point game. But if he has a 15-20, boy, you are like in really good position if you did well with the rest of your money, especially on your higher price guys. Real quickly, too, we were going over the highest point totals. There was only one name that jumped out that I was just like, what? Kellen Winslow Jr., the tight end, I think was like 10th or 11th in the highest point total in a fantasy football game. I do not remember that game. I feel like I should. Right? That was the one that, seriously, I had to stop the podcast, wow, push it back to make sure they said, and they did, they said Junior. Moving on to flex, my high tier guy, A.J. Brown, 7,600. Again, this is another why, guys, if you have time, just go through and look at the game logs, because it's another one I did not realize. Since week 5, Brown is averaging 16 points per game. That's including a 3-point performance. He scored in 7 of his last 8 games. He has 8 touchdowns in that period. A 5th-round rookie last week had a 50-yard touchdown from Mike Glennon. So I'm going to be shocked if Brown, and we mentioned Davis earlier, don't either or both have at least one big play, because both these guys are known for, you'll look at their stat line, you're like, oh man, what a bust, and the next thing you know, 60-yard touchdown, and you're like, yes, I'm glad I played them. The Browns are not great against the run, and I actually think that's going to only help them, because, you know, Henry has been on such a roll, and with Brown being a big play guy, if Henry gets it going, next thing you know, some play action pass, you know, or they start creeping up those safeties. Brown burns a corner. Big play. He's only 7,600, which, again, for a guy that scored 7 out of his last 8 and is averaging 16 points per game with a 3-pointer in that 8-game stretch, I think there's tremendous value. And the other thing I love about this, 3 of Brown's biggest games have come in Henry's top 5 point performances. So if you were looking at Henry having a 20, you know, I think the Browns like 22nd against the run for fantasy, and you're like, well, I'm worried he's going to do really well. It's actually Brown does better when Henry does better overall. So that tends to be a good thing. I really do think it's just that it gets more attention. I mean, obviously, Henry's a freaking grown man. So I do like A.J. Brown at my top tier wide receiver at 7,600. But do not forget about Corey Davis.
God, man. That's fascinating, that stat with Derrick Henry there. Which, yeah, again, Arthur Smith, good hire potential. yeah, I love that play, especially with Ward out. My top flex guy is Allen Robinson at 6,700. Another guy where he's just super consistent. Regardless of which awful QB is playing, 10 plus every week outside of week 2. Part of that is he is just super involved, at least 9 targets in all but 2 games. And those other 2 games, he got 4 and 7. So, I mean, this guy's seeing the ball a lot in this offense. The Lions are 27th against wide receivers. They have given up at least 243 yards just to wide receivers in their last three games. So 243 plus all of the last 3 weeks. You know, I've talked multiple times this year about how the Lions cornerbacks are not very good. OERA is okay. And basically everyone else there is a disaster. So I think Allen Robinson is a very strong play at 6,700.
I mean, you tell me Patricia was not a chip off the Belichick block and when it goes to defenses.
No, clearly not. God, I mean, what a truly awful hire.
Like, I hadn't thought about it. We always, you know, kick on the Jaguars about being bad at everything. That's awful. I forgot that they're that bad against running backs and receivers.
Yeah, I mean, does Matthew Stafford continuing to just see his career get wasted away in Detroit?
I'm a Georgia fan, so full disclosure. Yeah. I feel bad for Stafford. I think people forget that, you know, he won 10 games, I think, pretty consistently when Megatron was there. Once he left, I mean, in his defense, I know he's Megatron. I'm not giving Stafford more credit, but I'm saying when he was a young quarterback, he was winning when he had talent. And since then, it's been like, what are y'all doing? My middle tier flex, Devontae Parker. We talked about Fitzpatrick being back, the benefit to Gesicki. Parker has 37 targets in his last four games. He didn't have that many in his previous seven. Parker has had seven double-digit point total games. Five of them have came with Fitzpatrick at quarterback. He's averaging 20 points per game over his last two with Fitzpatrick back at quarterback. He's facing a Bengals team who, excluding the ugly game against the Giants last week, had given up 12 touchdowns in their previous seven games to wide receivers. Devontae Parker is by far their number one receiver. Seeing that 12 touchdowns in seven games, Parker at 6,400 needs to be in a lot of lineups because he's a guy that he's been getting a ton of target shares. He's known to have a lot of catches, which even if he doesn't score, say he has a 9-catch, 90-yard game, that's an 18-point game. He makes that a 9-catch, 103-yard game. Now you're talking a 22, 23-point game. Plus, again, you're placing a defense that gets torched for touchdowns against everybody but the Giants. No offense, Joe. We don't include them when it comes to quarterback or wide receiver stats. I love Devontae Parker at 6,400 for my mid-tier wide receiver.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I think, you know, again, if you do go with Fitzpatrick, I think he's a good guy. Either throw him or Gesicki. Throw one of those guys in. If you go with Fitzpatrick, there's no reason not to with where those guys are priced. My mid-tier flex is Robert Woods. It's honestly, I'm feeling weird about not taking Goff now as like my low-tier guy since I Cup and Woods. But again, the Cardinals have not been good against wide receivers this year. 25th. Woods has been, again, a pretty consistent guy. You know, he gets carries sometimes, so that helps. But eight double-digit games this year, and another game was 9.8, so it's basically there. His last 2 weeks, he's been insanely involved in the offense against Tampa Bay and San Francisco, who are much better defenses than Arizona. Last 2 weeks combined, 19 receptions for 210 yards and a touchdown on 27 targets. So they've just been feeding him the ball lately. And much like Cup, he went off last year against the Cardinals. His two receiving lines were 7 receptions for 67 yards and a touchdown and 13 receptions for 172 yards. So the Cardinals have been very generous to both Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, and I do not see any reason for that to stop again.
And wide receivers in general.
Yeah. Prior to last week, which was against the Patriots, so we're not counting it.
Doesn't count.
4 straight games, multiple touchdowns to wide receivers. So I expect that to continue.
So it's ironic that our low tier are both guys I really like. Yours is obviously a little bit more expensive. I think it's a great deal for, you know, the target share. But, you know, if y'all didn't hear, Fuller is out. We've talked for weeks about how great Watson's been this year. And it really is getting to the point where it's crazy. It doesn't get any attention. I know the team sucks, but, I mean, he's been incredible, especially the last, like, 8 games. You can get, and I'm going to butcher this name, so I apologize. Remember, I'm white, I'm country, you know, I'm doing the best I can. Kiki Coti, I think that's right. He's 3,500. Indy is a tough matchup. Like, I'm not going to deny that. They are like one of the best secondaries in the league, one of the best against passing. But, I mean, again, this guy is Deshaun Watson, who's playing the way he is, number two receiving option this week. Because people forget that Randall Cobb is on IR. So that's not an option. So it's literally going to be Cooks and then him. It's also why I think that we didn't talk about, but Duke Johnson is still not, I don't think, a terrible play. Because I actually think they are going to use him even if David Johnson comes back a lot, because they're going to need him to catch passes. Do make sure that Houston doesn't add a receiver in free agency. I think we've got a point now where they would have had to. Because, again, you're getting the number two receiver with one of the hottest quarterbacks in the league throwing to him for 3,500. I think that's a good play, even against a defense as good as the Colts.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a good point about this with Cooks and Coti, which is, you know, the Colts are seventh against wide receivers on DraftKings. They're a very solid defense. These guys would probably, if Fuller was out there, I do not think, well, Cooks would not be my choice. There are other guys. Like you said, Corey Davis would probably be a guy I would take in that situation if Fuller was out there. But without him out there, the target share just goes up.
And, well, he's already averaging like 8 a game.
Right, exactly. The last 7 games, just over 8 targets per game, at least 9.9 points in every single one of those games. So Cooks has been giving you that production week in, week out for 2 months now. And now he's the number one wide receiver in that offense. And, you know, there's some offenses where Fuller would go down and the target share wouldn't matter because people would just be able to key in on these guys, because there's obviously going to be more focus on Cooks and Coti without Fuller. But, I mean, Deshaun Watson's one of the elite QBs in the league. And Cooks is not some random
journeyman. I was going to say, Cooks is a beast.
He's a legitimately good receiver. Who's, I mean, honestly, if he didn't
could be a number one receiver probably on about 12 to 15 teams in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I mean, concussions have really been the thing that's held him back the last couple of years. And, you know, knock on wood, he stays healthy for this Texans team the rest of the season. But
I still think the only reason the Pats lost that Super Bowl was when he got hurt, because he was having a field day with that Eagles secondary. I think that was the second half. Anything else you want to say on Cooks before we move on to the defenses?
No, I'm with you. I think Coti is a fantastic, like, super low-priced guy to play this week.
He's a speedster, too. So, I mean, Watson could literally, you know, sneak out in the pocket, you know, do what Watson does. He get loose and, you know, a 50, 60-yard touchdown and it, you know, 3,500. Yeah, it's paid for it. Moving on to the defenses, we don't ever spend a lot of time on these because, again, you want to talk about a crapshoot. The Dolphins at 4,400, they're the highest one. I got to say, I'm going to have them in a few lineups. Like, if I can find the money, we saw what Cincy did last week, and I will give them they moved the ball okay. They had a chance to win that game against the Giants late, but I think most of that was the fact that Danny got hurt. If you looked at it, that game was trending in a direction to where – you know, what's going to happen? They're bad against pressure. We know the Dolphins can get pressure. We know the Dolphins can get turnovers. We know the Bengals have bad special teams. The Dolphins have good special teams. And again, 4,400. Cincy just, they're so bad. Miami has also had a couple of feast games on defense at home, which is where they're at this week. My second defense is the Bears, 3,100 versus Detroit. The Lions offense is struggling. Now, granted, they are going to get back Swift. There's a chance they can get back Galladay. We talked about they have Hawkinson, which is a good weapon against, you know, the Bears defense. But the Bears, I'm just shocked. It's one of the better defenses in the league for 3,100 against, honestly, even when they're fully healthy on offense, it doesn't just torch people. I mean, it's not going to happen. And the Bears are at home. So I think that's a really good play. And then I know people are going to laugh. But my Falcons at 2,500. Since the coaching change, the defense has been much better. And at first, you know, we've had so much fun this year picking on my Falcons secondary, which has been atrocious, but they've started to get under control. But even if they had it, it doesn't matter because they're basically facing a tight end slash running back at quarterback. This is the second time they're going to see him in a short period. And I need to remind you again, they have had a lot of success against running backs over and over and over again. They shut down and knocked Jacobs out of the game this last week. He is the fourth, like probably top six, seven running back in the league. They have held to well under 100 yards. And I just think seeing Hill twice in this, I think it's a 3 or 4 week period, is going to give them an advantage. The defense has been much better at home. And I just, this is a rivalry too. I know a lot of people probably outside of the South don't know this. Falcons and Saints fans hate each other. The teams hate each other. The owners hate each other. I mean, so they're going to be up for this game at 2,500 if I'm just throwing something against the wall. And I know that's a, you know, kind of ridiculous. When I bet they scored 20 plus points last week. I'm not saying that, but I do think they've scored at least 3 points in their last five games. They've had, I think, five or more in three out of the last five. And I just don't believe in Taysom Hill. And if they were able to slow down Murray and Kamara, which they've done with running backs, I think that could be a sneaky good play. What's your defenses?
That's an interest. Those are some interesting points about that Atlanta game, because I didn't even consider it, but it's a pretty compelling case if you want to try and save that money.
We know I will trash on my Falcons when I can, but I really will be disappointed, and because I think the coaching staff they have now, Raheem Morse is a good coach. Like, he really is. He's a great defensive mind, and I would be shocked seeing that offense now for 3 weeks and, you know, getting to play him, you know, twice in a month. He didn't figure some things out because you look at it, the Broncos slowed him down last week, and the Broncos really didn't have a quarterback. So, I think the Saints are going to have some issues with him at quarterback if that's the direction they continue to go.
Yeah. It's also just killing me in my season long where Kamara is just like a running back two now. So that's
God, been... David.
But
I saw him at 7,000. I was like, oh, I'm picking Kamara. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah, right? Dicks. That still took over.
Taysom Hill, just professional ruiner.
What a douche.
If you have the money, I think you're right. Dolphins, Cincinnati is the best play of the week at 4,400. But going a little bit lower than that, I like Kansas City against Denver. Obviously, Denver will have an actual NFL quarterback this week, which will surely help them.
How about the request they made to have a coaching assistant for a quarterback? And the league turned it down, which I think is pretty messed up.
I mean, I understand, you know, obviously, the reason there's that rule exists. Although I would have loved if they made
it. What assistant are you going to get that's going to be a better option than a free agent out there? And, I mean, this is just weird. This is what – I mean, again, a lot of this is sour grapes because I'm a Falcons fan. And it was just a free W for the Saints in a game that I think would have been a tough game for them if the Broncos just had a quarterback with any experience. It just, to me, that was a bad decision. Sorry, I keep trying to get you sidetracked today. Go ahead, man.
I would have loved to have seen it, but obviously, you know, they don't want teams to be able to just stash actual backup QBs.
So you're saying, you have like a Rex Grossman or Tony Romo is going to be a consultant for the Dallas Cowboys.
Some assistant QB coach, $2 million. Which is, but even with an actual quarterback, this Denver offense is not good. They're actually dead last in offensive DVOA on Football Outsiders. So, I mean, Football Outsiders is saying Denver offense, and this was true, I believe, prior to last week, than even the New York Jets. So this is truly a bad offense. Outside of the occasional fourth quarter explosion, that seems to be the only time they have any offense. And they're 26th on DraftKings. They're just not good. Kansas City's been trending the wrong way defensively, but, you know, 5 points against Tampa. They intercepted Brady twice. That's not awful. Obviously, we've said the Raiders' offense has been solid, as has Carolina's. So I wouldn't put too much stock in their defense.
They're going to score, get up, and then Denver's going to be forced to throw. Which, if I have a defense, I'm going to be, you know, pretty happy about my chances if Drew Lock is having to sling it.
And one of the things we always want to look at is, what do we think? Obviously, you don't want to bank on it, But you like the matchups where you feel like there's a real chance the defense could score. And if Denver has to throw the ball a lot, that's definitely an opportunity. My mid-tier pains me to go with this, but Seattle against the Giants at 3,300. Seattle is a defense that's actually been trending way up recently. They haven't been setting the world on fire, but they've 5 points in three straight games.
They're getting pressure on the quarterback, and Adams just looks so much better.
Exactly. That's been the night and day for their season where, let's see, the first 4 weeks, they never had more than two sacks. They have had at least three sacks in five, and that includes 6 and 7 sack weeks. So they've gotten it going on defense. And, I mean, Colt McCoy, I think, threw for 31 yards.
So Danny is officially out.
I don't know that I've seen it official, but absolutely everything that I've been reading throughout the course of the week, which I totally support. If he's not...
Oh, yeah. No, it's a hamstring too, right?
Yeah. Like, let him sit. This was always our least winnable game left on the schedule. So there's no reason to have him aggravate something playing a long shot game and then have him miss the Cleveland game, which is totally winnable, I think. Because Cleveland's 8-3, but I think they're like a 500 team when you actually look at who they are.
It was the Packers. I feel like they're like the Packers last year.
They are.
It's like everybody knew. It's like, man, the first like good team they play in a playoff game, they're going to get smoked.
They're like the Packers, except that they have Baker Mayfield.
Well, that's fair. You're right, instead of Aaron Rodgers.
So... That's a little off topic, though. I mean, again, it's Seattle has been looking like the worst defense, historically bad. They were giving up more yardage than any team in history the first 2 months, but they've looked good for the last month. Colt McCoy is just not someone I expect to be able to move the ball. I expect multiple sacks in this game. I mean, it would not surprise me for them to rack up 5 or 6 sacks. So I think they're a very good play at 3,400. And then my low... Oh, 3,300, even better.
That's what I'm saying.
And then my low tier, I was having trouble finding a low tier at first, although I am kind of intrigued by your Falcons play. But I like the Chargers at 2,600. The last 2 weeks, they've been pretty solid. I mean, one of those games was against the Jets, but last week against Buffalo, they surprised me. They also disappointed me. I was expecting an offensive explosion in that game, and then both defenses came to play. They forced 3 turnovers, had 3 sacks against Buffalo. And, I mean, New England is just not a team.
If they have to throw it, they're going to turn it over.
I mean, yeah, that New England's offense looks rough right now. All of those early takes about, like, I can't believe – they got Cam Newton for nothing.
Oh, no, the worst takes were Bill Belichick. See, Bill Belichick's so overrated. It's like the fact that he has this team, what is it, 5-6? Like,
yeah.
It's still insane.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
This team's awful.
I thought
they were tanking.
They're the team that lost the most players with guys opting out. Like, the thing was, like, 3 starters on defense.
Yep, and 2 of their best ones.
So, I mean, all the credit in the world to Bill Belichick, but I do not think their offense is going to have much success this week. I think the Chargers should just give up if they can't win this game, I kind of feel like. It's just like also the end of their game last week against Buffalo, where on the very last play, I saw that Herbert tries to sneak it while the entire offensive line goes into pass protection.
That was awful.
Which, and they also ran the ball with no timeouts.
And 19 seconds left, down 2 scores.
Yeah. As snake bitten as they've been by injuries and stuff, I think it might be time to move on with coaching staffs.
And I like Lynn, but no, it is. Like, it's been rough. They've lost so many 1 score games in the last 2 seasons. So we made it all the way through.
So go ahead.
I just said I can't believe we made it all the way through. We apologize for getting this up late again, but obviously, I mean, well, it's not your fault. I mean, Joe has COVID, so I mean, it's kind of like RC texted me today and was like, where's the podcast? I was like, it's coming, man. I said, you know, Joe's got COVID. We had to back it up. And with the, you know, no Thursday games too, we didn't feel that bad about it because we're going to get this thing up. It'll be up by 7 p.m. tonight, and that'll give you tonight, all day tomorrow, and before the game's at 1 o'clock. Is there anything before we get out of here?
Just wear masks everywhere, guys. Yeah. And try to go places. The only places I've been, I had a Thanksgiving with two people who are also distancing, and I go to gas stations and grocery shopping. So, I mean, and also this, that's just the world we're in now, where it's as bad as it's been the entire year, pretty much everywhere. So even if you're playing it safe, you can get sick. And more importantly, if you're, you know, young, you can get other people sick, especially if you're doing anything Christmas wise. So I would just say, be smart, distance as much as you can. Do not needlessly like risk the lives of your parents or grandparents.
That's what scares the hell out of me. That's what, honestly, that's what's terrified me about this from the get go. I think, you know, you can have it and have like no idea. I mean, literally no idea. Then you get like, my parents are both, you know, pushing 70. It's like I literally could kill them. And I couldn't imagine the guilt from that. The only thing I want to plug is the IB Sports podcast feed. And specifically, my man, Alan, a.k.a. Actively Lazy, normally my co-host on the Backdoor Cover. Alan told me, I guess now about 6 weeks ago, look, man, this fantasy football podcast is, you guys are doing great. Your picks are good. It's you concentrate on that, and we'll get back in the gambling podcast after that. So Alan is taking that right now by himself. So just getting to know Alan, he's doing basically an hour on every NFL game. You cannot get in an hour more information from a person who looks at it from every different angle and studies, and just, it's unbelievable. So normally when you listen to that podcast, I know this isn't much of a plug for me, but it's like you have one guy on there who is just a joke. I'll look at trends. I'll do what I can. I have no idea what I'm doing. You have a true expert. I mean, he is a gambling expert. It's a, you know, he does well in gambling. Let's put it that way. You should check it out. It's really good. It usually drops on Tuesday or Wednesday, and he previews every NFL game. So be sure to check that out. Joe, I am so glad to hear you're doing better. And hopefully, man, I'm going to tell you, I've been saying I'm going to really tout it. If we have another week like we did last week and the week before and the week before, because I think it's been 4 or 5 weeks from the one like bad week we've had this season, I'm gonna start sticking out our chest a little bit more. But this has been Keith Fleming, Joe Matz, the weekly Daily Fantasy Football podcast on the IB Sports podcast feed. Good luck this weekend, guys. Peace.